Amen. Take your Bible this morning, and I want you to open to Acts chapter 18. And I want to talk with you this morning about having a teachable spirit, having a teachable heart. Kind of asked this question out on social media yesterday, so maybe if you saw it, maybe you've been thinking about that. Am I a person that has a teachable spirit? Man, it is incredibly important that all of us, regardless of age, have a teachable spirit. And that is especially true if we are believers in Jesus Christ, because the reality is that we never stop growing as believers, because as disciples of Jesus Christ, our goal is to be more and more like Him, and we realize that's not going to happen until the day we stand with Him and before Him in glory. And so here, we're in a perpetual motion of growing to be more and more like Jesus, so that when people look at us, they don't see us, but they see Jesus in us. And that requires a teachable spirit. Someone put it like this, and I think it's so true. Having a teachable spirit may well be the most important element of success in life. I know it is in ministry and relationships. It is that vitally important. So stay teachable. I don't care how young you are, and I don't care how old you are. Stay teachable. Be a person who can be taught. And if you choose not to do that, or if you reject that, you're going to miss out on a lot of things. In fact, one of the things you're going to miss out on is all that God has for you. You're never going to become all that He wants you to be because you've rejected that part of His plan for your life. Now, why am I talking about a teachable spirit this morning? Because in Scripture this morning, we have a man who has a teachable spirit. And so as I read through the story of Apollos here in Acts chapter 18, that was the thing that just jumped off the page to me. One of the first thoughts I had as I was back studying this passage was, man, here is a man who has a teachable spirit. Lord, help me to be like Apollos. Lord, help me never get to a place where I think I know it all, I've learned it all, and no one can possibly teach me. Lord, help me never to reach that place. So in your Bible this morning, I want you to look in Acts 18, beginning at verse 24, and let's talk first of all about a man with a teachable spirit. In fact, let me just read down. It's a brief passage this morning, so let me read it and let you follow along in your Bible you have open, your print Bible, however you have it open. By the way, if you don't happen to have a Bible with you, there's one in the pew in front of you. Please borrow that one and open to the book of Acts. Go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and just follow Acts, and you'll be right there, all right? Down in verse 24, let's read these four verses about this man named Apollos, who becomes very prominent in the ministry of Paul throughout the remainder of the New Testament. And Paul has a deep affection for him. But let's read about him. Now, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila, remember that husband-wife pair, heard him, they took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, this would be where Corinth is, the brothers encouraged him, and they wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the Scriptures, please note that, showing by the Scriptures that the Christ or the Messiah was Jesus. Now, that's our introduction to this man Apollos. Like I say, he appears other places in the book of Acts. He appears later when Paul writes about the Corinthian church. He speaks about Apollos. Later on, some of Paul's other writings, he's going to mention Apollos and the fact that Apollos is coming to him. But here's this man Apollos. He grew up in a city called Alexandria. If you were to look at a map, maybe in the back of your Bible, look at an ancient map, you would find that Alexandria was a great city that was in North Africa. It was on the coast of North Africa. It was a city that was known for its education. It was known, by the way, one of the things that Alexandria was known for was its great library. It had one of the great libraries of the ancient world. Some estimate between 500,000 to 700,000 volumes. Now, these weren't printed books like we have, but books on scrolls and documents and such as that. In other words, it was a great intellectual learning center in North Africa. Well, that's where this man Apollos grew up. Now, we know some other things about him, too. If you'll look in the text, you'll notice that he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. Let me talk about that word instructed for a moment. It's a word from which we get a word. You've heard the word catechism, okay? Catechism simply means to be taught in an orderly fashion. All right, so someone had taught Apollos in an orderly fashion. Now, here's who I think it was. It was his parents. I think that's who taught him. And perhaps primarily his father. What did his father catechize him in? What did his father teach him about? His father taught him about Jesus. But here's the thing that comes up here. Although what his father taught him was accurate, and what Apollos taught was accurate, it was incomplete. There were some things that Apollos didn't know about Jesus. There were some things that he didn't know about the ministry of Jesus. There were things he didn't know about the Holy Spirit. There were things that he just wasn't privy to. You say, well, how could that be? How could it be that somebody would know? Well, let's stop and think about it for a moment. The year that we're in here in the New Testament is about 50 AD, all right? When did Jesus die? Somewhere around 30 AD. Do a little math there. It's only been 20 years. It's only been two decades since the death of Jesus, the birth of the church, and the expansion of the church over into Europe and into Greece and into Achaia, all those places. That's happened now in the past 20 years. But now you'll know and you'll understand that the passing of information and knowledge moved slowly in that day. I mean, there isn't anything that can happen in the world this morning. You may get a notification of it on your phone. In fact, you may be notified about it before it even happens today. Now, y'all didn't laugh at that, but in a world of fake news. Oh, some of y'all get that later. Y'all are slow this morning. Lord have mercy. News didn't travel quickly. So that's how somebody could hear about Jesus, teach about Jesus, but not have all of the pertinent information about Jesus. So here you have Apollos, and he comes to the great city of Ephesus. Paul had been there, but Paul had to fulfill a vow. So he was on his way back to Jerusalem to do that, but he left the husband and wife pair, Priscilla and Aquila, there in Ephesus. And while they were there, then Apollos shows up, and he comes to the synagogue. Notice some things about this man. One, he was an eloquent man. Man, when he spoke, people listened. He had a giftedness and an ability to capture the hearts of an audience. Now, Paul would say about himself later that he was not an eloquent man. In fact, he says that to the Corinthians. I didn't come to you in eloquence and education. I came to you in the power of the Spirit. And I'm not saying that Apollos didn't have the power of the Spirit, but I'm just telling you that he had a giftedness of speaking. Some people have that giftedness, and they can capture the attention of people. So he was eloquent, but notice this, he was competent. Two things, eloquent and competent. But what was he competent in? He was competent in Scripture. What Scripture? Well, that would have been the Old Testament. And so in his learning, his catechism, if you will, whoever had instructed him, think his parents, had taught him well. Man, he knew the Old Testament. He knew it from the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. He knew the prophets. He knew the writings like Psalms and Proverbs. He was well versed in it. I mean, you could mention something, and he would say, yeah, that's found here. The scripture says thus. The prophet says that. He was a man who was very competent in the scripture. And then notice in verse 25, he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. Okay? Now, what does that mean? The way of the Lord means the message of God. And in this case, the message of Jesus, what was known of Jesus to him and those around him. But let's follow along. Look at some other things here about him. But then notice, and being fervent in spirit. Now that word means hot. In fact, it means boiling. Now boiling, you might think like anger. No, this is just fervency of spirit. Okay? Now, was that the Holy Spirit? I think so. But that was also who Apollos was. He was eloquent, but he was fervent. In other words, when you were around Apollos, he was just one of those guys who was on fire, man. That's a good way of describing him. He was on fire. And he was fervent. That means he was passionate about the message of Jesus. He was passionate about what he was doing and who he was doing it for. And then it says he spoke and taught accurately or correctly the things concerning Jesus. So the basic things about Jesus, he didn't miss a beat there. He wasn't teaching. There wasn't anything that he was doing that could be considered heresy or was taught wrong. It just, again, the thing with him was it was incomplete. Here's where that comes in. He knew only the baptism of John. Now, that doesn't mean that he only knew about baptism, but when it says he knew only the baptism of John, what he was proclaiming and what he was teaching was the message of John. And what was the message of John? It was a message of repentance and faith in the one to come. Who was the one to come? It was Jesus. He knew all of that, and so he was proclaiming accurately about Jesus. He was proclaiming actually that the Messiah had come. There are just some blanks that he needed to fill in to be able to teach this message completely and accurately. Okay? So follow along with it here. So, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. There's that boldness again. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Now notice that. It wasn't there was any inaccuracy. It's just, look, let us fill in the gaps. You need to know more about what's happened. You need to know about the day of Pentecost. You need to know about the fulfillment of prophecy. You need to know about the birth of the church. You need to know what's going on here. It was more accurately. So this couple took him aside and taught him. And by the way, you notice how they're listed here? Priscilla first and then Aquila. Remember I told you the four of the six times in the New Testament when this couple is mentioned, Priscilla's mentioned first. In fact, the language of the text almost indicates here that she may have taken the lead in teaching him. Very interesting. And I'll kind of play back into teachableness here in just a moment. Man, they taught him. They filled in the blanks. And then he probably they told him about what had happened over in Corinth in Achaia. And man, being fervent in spirit, he's like, man, I want to go there. You remember how Paul dealt with the Jews and they'd run him out of the synagogue? Now, Paul says, I'm up to that challenge. I want to go. That's where I want to go and teach in a synagogue. They told him, man, that's a challenging place. Those folks are not open. That's where I want to go. And so they filled in the blanks and then watch this. Notice in verse 28, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ, and the word Christ means Messiah, was Jesus. You see, that's the part he didn't have completely. All that had been fulfilled about Jesus as the Messiah, his death, his burial, and the importance of his resurrection on the third day, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now he had the full picture. Now he had the full story. And man, now that he had all the ammunition in the gun, man, he was mowing them down, if you will. Now, how did he get there? How did he get there? How did he get to this place that he could teach in the way that he was? Well, that's what I want you to see next here. Let me open up my document again. All right, so let's talk about what the Bible says about a teachable spirit. Give me just a half second. This is the first time that's ever happened. I am locked up on my notes. Give me just a half second here to get that unlocked. The devil is at work this morning. All right, nice. Okay. Well, let's see if it'll come back up. Now, that's the first time that has happened to me. So, give me just a half second here while I try to get this thing restarted here. There's the button. Where's the button I'm looking for? There it is, right there. Can y'all sing while I do this? Can y'all just la, la, la? Okay. Man, it is just locked up all together. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Praise the Lord anyway. All right. All right, let's look at what the Bible has to teach. Let's just forget about that. All right. Now, let me show you what the Bible has to teach about having a teachable spirit. Y'all pray the devil gets out of my iPad too, by the way, okay? He won't even let me turn it off, okay? Now, if there's one book in the Bible that teaches about being teachable, it is the book of Proverbs. Now, are there other places? Yes, but let me just walk you through some verses here in Proverbs that teach this, okay? Now, look at this. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will what? What will he do? He'll hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Now, folks, that's having a teachable spirit. Reprove a wise man. What that's saying about having a teachable spirit is this, is that you're open and willing to acknowledge criticism when it's right. Now, when criticism is brought your way, it's a lot like eating a fish with bones in it. Did you know that? When criticism comes your way, there's some things you're going to throw away, like the bones out of a fish with bones in it, but there are other things that you need to take. And a wise person, a person with a teachable spirit then, is a person who is willing to do that. They're a person who is willing to say, Lord, what do you want to teach me here? What do you want me to know? And because when criticism comes, here's how it works. Anytime I've ever received criticism, well, maybe I shouldn't say every time because I'm not perfect. So I don't always respond perfectly to criticism as you don't respond perfectly to criticism. But here's what I've tried to learn to do with criticism, is always to ask, Lord, is there any truth in this you want me to learn from? Now, there's some things that need to be thrown away. But Lord, are there any things in there that I need to know that you want to teach me from? So that's one of the things. So look at Proverbs 10:17. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life. But he who rejects reproof or teaching or instruction leads others astray. All right? Now we're going to look at Apollos here in a moment. Apollos had a teachable spirit. How do I know that? Because he was willing to receive instruction from Priscilla and Aquila. Now stop and frame that in your mind for a moment. Apollos had grown up in the great ancient city of Alexandria. I told you, it's a place of education. We might say this of Apollos, he was a university guy. He'd been brought up around intellectual people. He'd been brought up in that way. And that intellectual pride could have, if he could have allowed that to become a pride that could have kept him from learning from other people. Now keep that in mind. So here he is, university boy, comes to Ephesus and he meets a couple, a man and a woman, husband and wife, who are what? Tent makers. Now Paul could have said, well, what can I learn from you? I already know more than you do. Now you see, that's what an unteachable spirit would do. It would reject that. So it's just like this. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life. So Apollos is willing to say, okay, I'm willing to hear you out. I'm willing to see. Can I learn from you. But let's look on to see what else Scripture has to teach here. Proverbs 10:14. The wise store up knowledge. Okay? So what does a wise man do? He's gathering knowledge. Okay? So what does that mean? If you're storing up knowledge, it means you're gaining knowledge. It means that your life, you're always in a learning mode. Okay? And you're storing that up. And you just don't ever know how God can use that in your life. So the wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. So what does a fool do? He just speaks whatever comes to the out of his mouth. Just whatever comes to the, to his brain, that's what he speaks. Now, how many of you ever gotten yourself, well, I guess I shouldn't ask you to raise hands. But many of you, let me put it this way, many of you have done that, haven't you? So have I. Man, I've opened my mouth before I've engaged my brain. And you hear the grinding thereof of the gears. Put that brain in gear before you speak, okay? Store up knowledge. Be a learner. Well, look at Proverbs 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding or knowledge, but only, I love this, but only in expressing his own opinion. The person who's a fool, and by fool here it means someone who acts morally in a wrong and incorrect way. A fool, the voice that a fool loves the most is his own voice. By the way, that's a way you can tell, am I a fool? If you do more talking than you do listening, you may be a fool. Now, I don't mean a funny person, but you may be a person who's not a learner. You don't have a teachable spirit. One other here in Proverbs 5:12-13. Listen again to what Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said. How I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. Now, I guess some of you students are out this week. It's Thanksgiving, but you might want to write that verse down. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers. I've had some regretful times in my life where I said I wished I had listened more. I had listened more. I wish that I had asked more questions. I heard a statement this past week here, a week ago, from an individual man I was talking to who does family ministry, and he made this statement too. I think I shared it on Wednesday night maybe. But listen to what he says. This ties right in with this beautifully. He said, anytime a grandparent dies, a library is burned down. Yes. Now, what he's saying is that there's a lot of wisdom, knowledge, insight, history that's there. Now, you say, well, why didn't they speak up? Well, let me reframe that for you. Why didn't I ask? Why didn't I listen more? Oh, it's just granny telling stories. It's just granddad telling stories. No, that's important. That's a library. I had one of my uncle's nieces who got hold of me. We're second cousins. And after his death, he was kind of a history keeper of the family, too. Knew a lot about the native side of our family. And she wrote to me. She said, I want to know more about our family. Can you help me? I said, yeah, I can help you. She was telling me, I want to be taught. I have a teachable spirit. All right, so let's talk about this. What does a teachable spirit require? Now, I'm going to say to you that the things that I'm going to show you here, these are all found in the life of Apollos, okay? If you go back and just say, okay, how does that fit? You'll see that it does. So let's talk about that for a moment. First of all, you need to have a humble heart. You need to have humility. You want to have a teachable spirit, you have to be humble. You have to be humble. That's what the scripture says, that God gives grace. He gives more grace to those who are humble of heart. There has to be humility. The one thing that will keep you from having a teachable spirit more than anything else is pride. Pride may be the chief of sins, but it is certainly a thing that will keep you from becoming a learner. There is no doubt about that. This man said this, we can't learn anything new until we can admit that we don't already know everything. Somebody give me an amen to that. Yeah. It's true, isn't it? It has to start with that sense is, I don't know it all. I don't know it all. And I'm willing to learn more. I'm willing to be taught. All right? Not only is there a humble heart, but listen, there must be a hunger to learn. A hunger to learn. I mean, all throughout life. I've told you stories about Kathy's dad at 80 years of age wanting to learn how to use the computer, wanting to learn how to use a word processor, wanting to do email. 80 years of age. And he did. And he wrote pages and pages and pages of lessons that he taught in Sunday morning Bible study. He to the end, in his 90s, was a learner. You had something new that you could teach him or tell. He wanted to learn that. And I love that about folks. And that's a prayer that I have. Lord, let me remain, always be a person who has that hunger to learn something new. And I love that. It just comes to that reality. I don't know it all. In fact, if I ever get to that place where I think I know it all, then I know I'm in trouble. You know, Lincoln said this. It's interesting. He said, I do not think much of a man who is not wiser today than he was yesterday. Good statement. Good statement. Each day, we ought to be growing. Mark Twain said this one time. He said, when I was 16 years old, he said, my father didn't know anything. He was ignorant. Got any 16-year-olds in the room? Think that of your parents? He said, old man was ignorant. He didn't know anything. Twain later wrote, he said, when I turned 21, he said it was amazing how much the old man had learned in 5 years. Well, I don't think it was the old man, do you? No, I think Twain learned that lesson that we all have to learn is that we need a teachable spirit. You have to have a hunger. You see, Apollos had these things. I mean, he had a humble heart, right? He's willing to come to a couple who were tent makers. He didn't really know them. And they kind of pull him aside. And by the way, I love the way they taught too. They didn't publicly embarrass him. They didn't chastise him. They just said, look, we think we could help you. Would you be open to us sharing some things and teaching you a little more? And he said, yeah, I would. So he had a humble heart and he had a hunger to learn. And so he took that knowledge and we'll see how he began to apply that. Well, another thing that a teachable spirit requires, and this is extremely important, is a listening ear. Man, you got to be a listener. You want to have a teachable spirit? You better become a listener. There ought to be times there ought to be less coming out of your mouth and more going into your ears. By the way, physically, we're built that way. We have two ears and how many mouths? One. That ought to teach us something right there by the very nature of how God has put us together. Doug Larson read some things by him. He said this, wisdom is a reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk. And I know for me that sometimes this is helpful to me. And sometimes people say, well, don't you have anything? What do you want to say? Well, I don't want to say anything right now. I want to listen. I'm learning, but I want to listen. I want to hear. I want to gather what's going on here. Another man said it this way. He said, if you can't be silent, you have nothing to say. Oh, I love that. Isn't that good? If you can't be silent, you have nothing to say. What is he saying? He's saying that you haven't processed anything. You've not heard anything. You've not learned. You're just spouting, as we looked in Proverbs, you're just spouting off your what? Your opinions. By the way, sometimes we love to do this in Bible studies, in Bible study groups. Did you study your lesson? Did you read the scripture? No, but I've got an opinion. Well, I'm sorry, I don't care to hear your opinion about what you don't know. Right? I'm just cutting it the way it is, right? Somebody better say amen to that. Amen. And if that's you, you better cut it out. Nobody just wants to hear you talking unintelligently, uninformed. Don't open your mouth unless you have wisdom to share because you've learned. Okay? I'm just cutting to the chase on that one. That's just the way that is. But you must have a listening ear. You must become a person who listens. And you'll be amazed how much you can learn if you become a good listener. You also need to surround yourself with growing people. Now, I'm not talking about physically in size, although this week some of us will grow in size this week. By the way, here's a little tip for you. Tonight, after midnight, set your scales back 15 pounds, okay, for Thanksgiving, all right? Just do that. Just go ahead and do it. It's just like the time change. And then after Thanksgiving, you move it back to normal, okay? But you need to surround yourself with growing people. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me tell you what happened to me in college when I was a freshman. I felt God's call to my life. By the way, when I was in high school, guess what I majored in? Fun. And girls. And doing things I shouldn't have done. I didn't listen to my teachers. I couldn't give a rip. That was me. I'm embarrassed by my high school manuscript, by my high school transcript, I guess is the word I'm looking for. I'm embarrassed by it. It's terrible. You know why? God didn't have a teachable spirit. Didn't have a teachable heart. Then God got a hold of me. And guess what? God has such a sense of humor. He said, guess what? I'm going to send you to college. What? I wasn't even prepared to go to college. He said, I'm going to send you to college. And so the first year, my first year, freshman year in college, guess what I majored in? Ping pong. Now, you know, I passed that on to Tony. Tony's in, he beat the pants off of me in ping pong now. I used to be able to beat him. But, yeah, I majored, my freshman year in college, I majored in ping pong. Guess what my grades did? First semester, they were terrible. But you know what I did? Here's what I did. I had wrong influences around me. I found some new friends. I found some new friends who could help me learn. I found some new friends who could study. And I got a new motivation, and I got a new movement in my life. And at the end of my freshman year, I made the dean's honor roll. Now, don't applaud me on that. What I'm telling you is that happened because I had some new friends. There was a new motivation. There was a teachable heart and a teachable spirit. And I really believe that in that spring semester, that freshman year, God just put into me that idea of becoming a learner, because I went on from there to say, man, I've enjoyed this so much. I want to do the next level, and then I want to do the next level, and then I want to just keep on learning. And I'm thankful that God has given me that heart and that spirit, and I hope that I keep it. But I'm just saying to you, is you may need to have some new people around you. There may be people in your life right now that are hurting you more than they're helping you. They're leading you in the wrong direction. Some of them, as a matter of fact, are leading you away from God, not toward God. And by the way, if there's a person in your life like that, you need to get rid of that person. You need to get them out of your life. So have the right people around you. Some people say it like this, get the right people on the bus. But you also need to have a doing attitude. Now, what that means is this, you've got to apply what you're learning. Now, isn't that what Apollos did? It's exactly what he did. He listened, okay? He had a listening ear. He listened to what Priscilla and Aquila had to teach. They taught him more accurately the way of the Lord, about Jesus as the Messiah and all of that. All right, so they taught him all that. Then what did he do? He applied it. He said, man, I want to go back to Achaia. I want to go back to Corinth. I want to go back and I want to talk with my fellow Jewish people there. I think that God can use me there. And he did. And notice what it says. I mean, he powerfully refuted them in public. In other words, I couldn't hold a candle to him. He was so well versed in the scripture. He was so powerfully eloquent. He was humble of heart, and God used him to bring people to faith in Jesus because he was a learner. He had this doing attitude. Maxwell says it like this: the true value of teachability comes when we take something that we learn and apply it, when we begin to do it. You can have book learning all day long. You can sit in lectures all day long. You can watch YouTube videos on how to do things. But if you never do it, if you never apply it, then what's the value of it? You got to get out there and do it. Now, does that mean you're going to do it perfectly every time? No, not at all. No, you're going to fail. By the way, if it weren't for YouTube, I couldn't work on my cars. Can I get an amen to that? Or fix stuff around the house? You walk around with the phone in one hand. Okay, YouTube, how do I fix this? And there's somebody out there that's done it. And by the way, I was trying to fix something on one of my cars the other day, and I found a YouTube video, and I went and tried to do it, and guess what? It didn't work. You know why it didn't work? That guy had skinnier hands than I do. He goes, all you got to do is put your hand right in here. I'm like, dude, your hand's like paper thin. My hand's like, as a girl say, Dad, you have panda hands, okay? So I could not get the panda hands through the dash at all, okay? It was a failure. But you know what I did? I went back and found me another YouTube video. Now I know how to do it. You know what I'm going to do one day this week? I'm going to fix the car. I'm going to apply the knowledge. Because I have it now. Now I'm going to apply it. And so it's important that you have this doing attitude. And I think Maxwell's just right on target here. So the true value of teachability is when we can take something and then apply it, whatever that may be. And then the last thing here is just simply having a heart of a lifelong learner. Man, you got to do that. Always be a learner. Always be learning, always be growing, always be applying what God has for you. And I think that Apollos did that because, again, as I look at Apollos throughout the New Testament, he wasn't just like, a firework that went up and exploded and then he was gone. No, he was a candle burning bright. He was a torch bearer throughout the New Testament. He was profitable to Paul. He was profitable to Priscilla and Aquila. He was helpful to the people in Corinth. We know that when we go back and when you read the book of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. We know that he had an impact there. He had an impact for Christ in so many ways, and he was a lifelong learner. And you've got to become too. You have not learned it all. I guarantee you. You've not even stretched the possibilities yet of the things that you could, and especially when it comes to spiritual things, folks. And I cannot overemphasize to you again that you say, man, I'd love to know more about the Bible. I'd love to know. Well, listen to me. The greatest thing that you can do is not even go take a class. The greatest thing that you can do, if you want to learn the scripture, is read it. Amen. Read it. My goal every year, and I'm completing it again this year. I don't know how many years I've done it now. Is that I want to read through this book, the whole book, every year. You say, well, preacher, you ought to know it by now. Well, I do, but you know what? I know it better than I've ever known it because I just read it. Do I do other kinds of studies? Absolutely, yeah. I'm learning from others all the time. I want to just keep, I think that's what keeps our mind sharp. By the way, I think it keeps our service sharp for the Lord if we are willing to do this. So, I began with challenging you. Do you have a teachable spirit? The worst people in life that I've observed are the people who've quit learning. They have nothing to live for. They have nothing to motivate them. They have nothing that really spurs them on hope-wise. You gotta keep learning. You gotta have this kind of a teachable spirit. And if you do, God will use it to glorify himself and to bring others to Christ. Now, what could get in the way? The main thing that could get in the way is pride. And it may be your pride this morning. It could be your pride of what you think you know. Or it could be your pride of what you think you don't know. You may be prideful, I couldn't learn, I couldn't be taught. That's pride too. But maybe pride is standing in between you and the Lord for you becoming the person God wants you to be, to have that kind of a teachable spirit. And by the way, you can learn from anybody. Don't discount anybody. Years ago, there was a coffee shop in Bethany called the Java Joint. I used to go by most mornings, and there's just a group of guys. It was a very varied group of guys. It wasn't anybody from our church. It was just guys. Some of them were in ministry, not very many of them, but a lot of them were just men that were in business. And one of them he was retired from the Xerox Corporation. He'd been a higher up in Xerox. And I love to just sit and listen to him over coffee. I saw him recently. He's had a stroke. He's not in good health. But I saw him recently somewhere in public, and I went over to the table, and I told him his name is Mr. Mercer. I said, Mr. Mercer, I want to tell you something that happened several years ago. You remember when we used to go to the coffee shop, the Java Joint? He goes, yeah, I remember those mornings very well. I said, I want to thank you for something. He said, for what? I said, for the things you taught me. What did I teach you? I said, well, I can't call up a whole list of things, but I'm just telling you that by sitting over a cup of coffee and listening to you, you made my life better. And I want to thank you for that. And sometimes it could be the most obscure person, the most unusual person, a person you think, oh, there's not anything I could learn from them, that God might bring into your life, through your life, that can teach you. Look for the teachable moments and allow God to utilize them in your life. I want you to bow together with me. And I really do want you to take a moment to ask yourself very honestly, very deeply, maybe just frame it like this, Lord, do I have a teachable spirit? Ask yourself that. And weigh it in light of what I've shared this morning. And if the Lord reveals to you this morning that you do not have a teachable spirit, don't despair, don't give up. Then just come before him and say this, Lord, I want to have a teachable spirit. Lord, help me to deal with pride in my life. Help me to be humble. Help me to listen. And then start looking for those opportunities. Start looking for those people that God may want to use in your life. But you know, wisdom ultimately has its source in our relationship with Christ. And without a relationship with Christ that is real and ongoing and alive, you'll never be all that God wants you to be. And if you've never come to Christ, you've never come to put your faith and your trust in him alone, just like we watched Landon and Natalie this morning. Why were they in that baptistry this morning? Because they want to be baptized? No. They were there because they are Christ followers. Both of them said, Lord, I recognize I'm sinful. Lord, I recognize I can't save myself. That's humility. And the recognition that only Jesus can save you, only Jesus can forgive you. Maybe you need to come to Christ today to put your faith and your trust in him alone. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, help us to evaluate honestly whether we have a teachable spirit. Lord, for any person in the room this morning who does not have that relationship with you of trust and belief, that maybe this morning, maybe this moment would be that moment that they would say yes to you, that they would submit to you and come to you for salvation alone. So thank you for speaking. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. We're going to respond to God's word.